This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll get the latest news on election-related bills debated today in the Wisconsin State Assembly.
First, tipping has become an accepted part of life here in the United States and a topic that's often passionately debated, as we'll hear in this scene from the film Reservoir Dogs, edited just enough so that we can play it on the air.
All right. I'll take care of the check. You guys can get the tip.
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
Let me just get this straight. You don't ever tip, huh?
I don't tip because society says I have to. All right, I mean, I'll tip if somebody really deserves a tip. If they really put forth the effort, I'll give them something extra. But, I mean, it's tipping automatically. It's for the birds. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're just doing their job.
This is a hard job.
So is working at McDonald's, but you don't feel the need to tip them, do you?
Last week, a large New York City restaurant group announced it'll be eliminating tipping in all 13 of its restaurants to help even the pay among servers and back of house, kitchen, restaurant staff. Joining us now to talk about the past, present, and future of tipping is New York Times restaurant critic Pete Wells. Pete, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, talk about this new model of charging at restaurants that this restaurateur is talking about here.
Well, this is the Union Square Hospitality Group in New York. With their CEO is Danny Meyer, and they've got some of the best known and I think best loved restaurants in the city, including Union Square Cafe and Gramercy Tavern and The Modern. And I think the group is 13 restaurants in total. And they have announced that they're going to eliminate tipping at all of them by the end of next year, starting with The Modern in about a month. And the way they're going to do it is by raising prices. So the servers, if it all works out, will be making roughly what they make now, maybe more if all goes really, really well. And customers will be looking at higher prices on the menu.
And this is something that I think a lot of people have been thinking about for a while, but are maybe restaurant owners afraid to take the plunge. The question is, if you bump up those prices to account for the tips that aren't there, does that scare people away? Is that something that has a lot of people worried?
I think that's a big concern. I heard that from restaurateurs who are adamant that they won't do this, that they can't do it, because the psychological effect of seeing higher menu prices is more powerful than the intellectual calculation that you make that says, well, I'm going to be tipping on top of that menu price anyway, so it kind of works out to more or less the same. And it doesn't quite work out to be the same, because I think the bottom line for people, if you get the exact same thing, is going to be higher because of some tax oddities. You know, we don't pay tax on tips, but you're going to pay a full tax on the higher menu price.
And one point that's been raised here is something that probably the average restaurant goer, I'll say I, didn't know about, that the whole tip situation is sometimes seen as an inequality between the people we see, the servers who get tips, and the people working behind the scenes who don't get the tips.
That's become a growing divide over the past 10, 20, 30 years. If you think back 20, 30 years ago, when I was a kid and a young man, 15% tip was standard. And then you started hearing 17%. And now in New York, at least, I think most people feel that 20 is the standard. So tips have gone up and up and up. And at the same time, food prices and menu prices have gone way up. So I think, if I may have this slightly wrong, but not too far off, I think that Danny Meyer told me that what the take-home of the average server has gone up in the time he's been in the business something like 200-300%. And, you know, I don't think too many other people can say that, and certainly the people in the kitchen are not seeing anything like that kind of a pay increase. So there's, because we have this culture of tipping, we've created this strange imbalance in how people in the restaurant business are compensated that is not necessarily what the managers and owners would choose if they were just to sit down and set wages the way you do in most companies by supply and demand in the labor pool and wanting to compensate your most valuable people and give them promotions and so forth. So that think of most any other business, prices are roughly competitive with other people doing the same thing. Wages are roughly competitive, and that is not the case anymore in the restaurant business.
We're talking to Pete Wells, New York Times restaurant critic. We're talking about tipping as one major restaurant group in New York says, hey, we're getting rid of tipping starting over the next couple of months in all of our restaurants. This has been a debate, a question around the country. You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Would you rather have restaurants without tipping? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Pete, one argument that sometimes restaurant customers make for our current system for tipping is it's a motivator to get good service from waitstaff. So without tipping, do you think we would notice a change in the quality of service?
Well, I can tell you that I've been going to some restaurants here that have eliminated tipping in the past couple of years, and I've been getting very good service. So it hasn't been my experience. Then again, it's only a limited number of places. I certainly think it's a motivator for service staff. Beyond question, they've got that in mind all the time, and it probably helps. On the other hand, it can also help with things that you don't want, like upselling. Suggesting the special that's $5, $6, $10 more than everything else on the printed menu. Suggesting I ask about a bottle of wine, and the sommelier says, that's okay. That's an okay bottle, but I've got something really good over here, and it happens to be $90, but it's really, really worth it. All of those things that you bump up the check a little bit more than you'd expect. And, I think a good server, a conscientious server, doesn't do that, and a conscientious restaurant doesn't really want their servers doing that. But, boy, there's absolutely a built-in motivation to do that.
One criticism of a tipping system, having the customers, in effect, pay the employee more than the owner, is that this is mostly a female profession in many restaurants around the country, and it exposes that mostly female staff to harassment, maybe from customers, maybe from coworkers, that they have to put up with in hopes of getting that tip that they rely on.
Well, boy, that opens up a whole line of kind of strange behavioral problems in tipping. We've got studies that show that younger servers get higher tips, that more attractive servers get higher tips, that whites get higher tips than blacks. It goes on and on, and it's a kind of in disparity in compensation that we have laws against for regular wages, but it happens in tipping.
We'll go to a caller. We've got Kevin on the line at 800-642-1234. Kevin joins us from Milwaukee. Kevin, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me to talk. I used to be a restaurant manager. My wife is currently a restaurant manager. We both served as well. I can see for a high-end restaurant, where you have a very professional level of service, where eliminating the tipping, you would still get the same level of service from your servers. But in a lot of the chain restaurants, a lot of the restaurants you'll see with most lower end, you're going to see a huge change in service because it's very hard to manage servers when you're not seeing them at the table unless you're getting responses back from the customers. So if you take away that tipping aspect, you're going to see a very big change in how they perform. And also, serving is a pretty stressful job if you're relying on your customers to give you a better tip versus working in the kitchen. You might get paid a bit less or a little less, but it's also consistent. So if it's a slow night versus a busy night, you're still going to make the same amount of money in the kitchen. So those were my comments.
Kevin, thanks for the call. So something he says that might work at higher-end restaurants, chain restaurants, lower-end places, maybe not, Pete.
I mean, this will be a big experiment if lower end restaurants even dare to take the experiment. I think he may be right. There is a chance that it will break out differently in high-end restaurants. I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine it working at the local diner. You know, it is. On the other hand, if you think of, you know, your workplace or my workplace or the average workplace, you know, there are other ways to motivate workers than giving them a big pocket full of money at the end of the night. Although, boy, that is a very appealing one, right?
We're talking to Pete Wells, New York Times restaurant critic, talking about a recent no-tipping policy announced by a large New York City restaurant group.
And we're taking your calls now. How much do you usually tip for a meal? Do you think this no-tipping model is a good idea? Or maybe you weigh tables and you want to weigh in on this. Call in now with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now with New York Times restaurant critic Pete Wells about a recent no-tipping policy announced by a large New York City restaurant group.
And we're taking your calls now. Would you support this no-tipping model for Wisconsin restaurants? Maybe you like to use tipping as a direct feedback for the kind of service you get at a restaurant, or do you work in that industry? What's your perspective? Call at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go back to our callers now. Jeff is on the line in Onalaska. Jeff, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
I would be in favor of getting rid of the tipping. I just think that it would be much more fair and would cut out the possibility of discrimination or, you know, just because I think right now a server could get treated unfairly if they're not as attractive as a different server, or if they're of a different race, or if they just get customers who are poor tippers because some people don't believe in tipping as much and they tip really poorly, which actually I think, you know, you can make the argument that, like, I know part of the argument for tipping is that it can create better service, but I think if the server gets a bad tipper, then they're probably going to be disgruntled and more likely to give poor service on their next few tables just because of, you know, being treated unfairly or getting a poor tip.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. I imagine, Pete, that diners are pretty divided on this issue. Some agreeing with Jeff that this is going to be more fair if we get rid of tipping. Some still appreciate that feedback that comes from tipping.
I think that's true, and I think people are very, very used to it, and some of us, and I include myself here, just tip automatically, it's been shown that in fact most people leave the same tip everywhere they go, every time, unless something goes horrendously wrong. But there are some people who are very, very, very attached to the idea and don't want to give up the power to communicate with the tip. And in fact, it's often difficult to communicate verbally in a restaurant when you've had a bad experience. It can be intimidating for people to call over the manager and say, you know, we really had a problem at this table. And I think for those people, it's a little bit easier to just, you know, leave a smaller tip than they normally would to get that message across.
We've got a couple callers on the line, it looks like, who have worked in this line of work as servers at restaurants. I want to hear from both of them. Amy first with us in Milwaukee. Amy, hi.
Hi. I totally disagree with the last caller. I served all the way through college to make money. I currently serve on the weekends, even though I have, you know, a full-time job. But I think that it would be ridiculous to get rid of tipping and, you know, pay servers a straight wage because, you know, I could have five or six tables in my section and I'm running around, you know, and doing a great job, whereas the person next to me could have two tables they're waiting on and totally be out, you know, not really outgoing and not doing well with their tables, and we're getting paid the same rate. It's not fair. And I also don't really understand where your last caller was coming from when he says that they'll become disgruntled, servers become disgruntled if they, you know, get a bad tip or not tipped at all. Well, yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, the greatest thing, but we've got more tables. You just move on to the next one. It's the nature of the beast.
Amy,
if you're a server, you know that.
Amy, thanks a lot for that perspective. We'll go now to Sarah with us on the line in Madison. Sarah, hi.
Hi. After just hearing that caller, I'm amazed. She's like the most optimistic server I've ever come in contact with. I served for years and years and finally just decided to give it up because it was truly very well. Never knew what I was going to come home with. And, you know, and it's like every table is like the lottery, right? So, like, you could give the best service to this table and they're not going to tip you because they don't believe in tipping or because it's not in their budget or... I mean, there's a million reasons why you may not get the tip that you earn.
All right, Sarah, thanks a lot for the call. So a point counterpoint from servers there, Pete. One says, hey, this is an opportunity to get lots of money. Great service will generally result in great tips. But Sarah then answers, no, it's a lottery. It's unreliable, unpredictable. So there's not agreement even among the people most directly affected here.
Oh yeah, and I think you're going to see that split among servers at every restaurant that tries this. There are some people for whom it works really, really well, and it's an opportunity to make the kind of money that's very hard to make anywhere else. And on the other hand, you'll have people who you know don't love the system, have been stiffed from time to time. Anybody who's worked in restaurants knows about coming in on a Monday night and there's a snowstorm and there's one table and you're standing around all night and at the end of the night you don't have that much to show for it. If what the Union Square Hospitality Group is trying to do works, it'll mean that on those slow nights you'll take home the same pay that you would on a busy night. But some servers may not like that. Some servers may really, really want the big paydays from the busy nights.
Talking to Pete Wells, New York Times restaurant critic, about tipping, some restaurants moving toward an end to the gratuity. Back to our callers now with Liz in Madison. Liz, hi.
Hi there. I agree with the gentleman from a couple of calls ago, and I think tipping is ridiculous. Everybody does a good job at their job if that's what they, you know, whatever job that they do, and I don't understand why, like, at restaurants or anywhere, we have to give a tip or should be expected to tip. I work a regular job during the week, and then I also bartend on weekends, and I get paid ridiculous amounts in tips from people sometimes. And while it's great and I appreciate it, I think to myself, I work a lot harder during my day job and I don't get a tip for that. And what? Same with lots of people. So my husband and I were in Europe this past summer. You don't have to tip at restaurants there at all. And people still do their job. They get paid a fair wage. They work hard. They smile at their tables. They run around. They have lots of tables. And I mean, everybody works hard at their job, and everybody should get paid just a regular, fair wage.
Liz, thanks a lot for the call. Pete, she brought up a lot there. The Europe question. I understand we originally started tipping in America to be sophisticated like Europe. Well, in the meantime, they stopped tipping, and now we still do it. Is there a European influence that might help end tipping here?
You know, every time I come close to saying, you know, they don't tip in Europe, somebody jumps on me and says, "What do you mean they don't? Of course, you have to leave a tip in Europe." So it's nuanced and it varies from, you know, country to country, and even from you know, kind of establishment to, you know, so in a cafe you might leave the change from rounding up, and in a restaurant you might leave something more. But I, you know, I've never been any place where the tipping culture is as crazy as in this country, where it's a whole lot of money. Did you have a question about how
she brought up bartenders too? I wanted to ask about that. Is there talk about bringing bartenders under a no tip regime? Because I know a lot of bartenders, they're working for tips mainly.
Well, the bartenders in these restaurants will fall under this, yeah, and that will be interesting because they any of these front of house servers at these restaurants will have the opportunity to go somewhere else and maybe make more money, or make money in the way they like it, you know, in with a whole big wad on a Saturday night. So, one of the things any restaurant jumping over to this has to worry about is people leaving and going to another restaurant or bar.
Well, talking about how this is going to play in the restaurant industry, is this a thing you think where people have been waiting for a big name to make this move and we're going to see lots of other restaurants follow? Or is it something where they're going to maybe watch how this works for, I don't know, a year or 2 years? Then maybe if it seems like it's working, then maybe we'll see a whole bunch of people follow suit.
I think both. I mean, this has been something that's been discussed more and more frequently and urgently in the past couple of years, and I've done a number of interviews about it. But people are nervous for all the reasons we've talked about, and they are going to be watching this restaurant group really closely to see how it works, if it works, and how they manage it. I mean, there's a trick to raising restaurant prices. I don't think anybody's just going to slap 25% on every single price. You think about, you know, there's some items that might be price sensitive, like, you know, your cheapest bottle of wine on the menu. The cheapest bottle of wine is sort of priced that way for a reason, because that's maybe what some customers are comfortable paying, and they don't want to pay a whole lot more than that. A bottle of beer at the bar, a cup of coffee. You know, these are things that where people really have a sense of, like, well, coffee costs this. Although, boy, I have paid some amazing prices for coffee recently. So it's going to have to be, I think, a kind of sophisticated case-by-case approach to come up with something where customers are comfortable paying the extra prices and don't really feel the pinch on certain price-sensitive items.
We'll be watching this play out. I assume you will, too. Pete, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
That was New York Times restaurant critic Pete Wells talking about a no-tipping policy recently enacted in a New York restaurant group. And you can keep sharing your thoughts. Would you like to see this happen closer to home? Share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.